But what I'd really like to do is something extraordinary.
Back to the Ground Level. I'm your host, Sean. A little bit later this week, we're going to have an episode up where Brian and I kind of get into it, a few heated moments. Right now, we're just going to have a short little recap of some of the stuff going on in the United States and the state of Washington. Again, welcome to the Ground Level. I'm your host, Sean. Please check us out here at rumble.com. Like, follow, leave comments. You can also hear us at Apple RSS and Spotify, basically anywhere where you get your podcasts. So please, again, follow our channel and help us grow. As you heard there in the intro, there's going to be an episode coming up here where Brian and I got into it. We had a lot of fun, a few heated moments, a few technical difficulties. We're doing some editing, but it was a good encounter. It's going to be a lot of fun. We also got an old friend of mine that's going to be here in a couple weeks. If you follow our podcast, you've heard about my friend Jim that's going to be here. That one you definitely want to tune into. That's going to be a lot of fun. Right now, the state of our country is kind of a mess. And you're seeing these messes all over the globe. Europe is just in a shit show right now. Canada is kind of falling apart, although that new prime minister just reached out to Trump to, have some talks with the whole tariff situation. We still have yet to see. Is we just reached the 100 days. It's always kind of a time to reflect every presidency, their first 100 days. We see what have they accomplished. Most people who remember the first term of Trump, it was just chaos. It was absolute chaos with constant allegations and hoaxes, COVID, you name it. I mean, it was just crazy what we went through for those 4 years. We didn't even really get a chance to see what Trump could accomplish. What we did see was Trump's noise. Not only noise that was being caused with all the fake lawsuits and the two impeachments, which, of course, there's already somebody planning on doing another articles of impeachment. It's like they just can't help themselves. Now, this second term here, again, we're only 100 days into it, not nearly as chaotic. The Democrat Party and the woke mob that kind of took over that party, they're making a lot of noise, as they do. They don't know what else to do except, defend the system that they've become so accustomed to with all their corruption, the culture wars, all that stuff, just trying to, which I've been saying for 30 years, they've been slowly chipping away, trying to transform our nation into the republic, into a democracy instead of the representative republic that it is. We clearly have, democratic principles, and many people don't like to hear that we're not a democracy, but technically we're not. We're not a, mob mentality, majority rules kind of country. The president is not a dictator. He is bound by his department. All these little third grade things that we learned, or at least my generation learned, from what I understand now, the public schools aren't even teaching this stuff or they're teaching it with a slant, which is, unfortunate. It was part of our programming when we were kids about the foundation of our country and the three different powers, separate but equal. They're supposed to be checks and balances, keeping each other in line. We don't have that right now. Things are a mess right now. And there's this constant attack on our foundation. It does frighten me where we're headed. Again, 100 days in, I've been saying for a while, Trump is the master of kicking ant nests and creating this system of chaos. People are focused on Elon Musk and him being the appointed head of Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, which has exposed quite a bit of corruption that many of us suspected and we all knew was going on. We just never had a tool to go in there. And I do say he is a tool. We never had a tool to go in and find out exactly what's going on. So now that it's been exposed, what we have is this rush to criticize, demonize, make him a villain. He's going after your social security numbers. I mean, it's just nonstop. Their whole process is frighten people. That's what Democrats do. It's always frighten you into submission. Now, it's not to say the Republicans don't do it. They've got their history with warmongering and frightening you so they can justify their military budgets. But we're not a country where the DC machine cares about the public anymore. They just don't. They don't care what the public says. Let me correct that. But that seems to be changing. You know, this, with the mainstream media and all the power that they've had 50, 60 years now, and that power has been stripped from them, and they're losing their minds over it. You have people like the Douglas Murrays going onto these podcasts and, you know, saying how irresponsible it is that people that are informed, or they don't have a, you know, the Rhodes Scholar or the Ivy League education that was earned to justify their opinions on matters. That's disgusting. That's a position of authority coming from the same people that says they don't want dictators or they don't want the ruling class. Excuse me. The hypocrisy is really sick. And so those Douglas Murrays, if you watch that podcast, or him and Dave Smith got into it on Joe Rogan, they have the nerve to sit back and say, well, you're not an expert on it. Well, what qualifies you as an expert? Now, I will suggest that, yes, if somebody goes to college and their entire, you know, their majors are history, you know, whatever particular field of history they're in, or they're, you know, 18th century history or world history, who knows? There's so, if they are truly, that's their goal in life is to be a historian, of course, a classical education will definitely have its benefits. However, they've discovered now that it's so easy, especially with Google, ChatGPT, all the AI, which, you know, as I just said, all the tools there, you know, you used to have to go to a library, and you could, but that was a little more difficult. Now it's just at a click. You have basically any information you need. And again, the elite that earned that badge of I'm an expert, that I went to college, you know, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. I understand that. In fact, I was just talking to a friend of mine about that, saying, I understand. Somebody goes to electrician school. You know, you start as an apprentice, and then you become a journeyman, then you become a master electrician. You know, you've put in the time. And then some kid that took a couple little classes online steps in and tries to push his weight around. I get it. The electrician's like, who are you? I put my time in. I studied this. I've been in the trade. I've got the experience. There is merit to that. But to dismiss somebody, to completely dismiss somebody who has done their studying and research and is taking the time that, frankly, I don't have, and many don't have. It's kind of the whole idea behind the ground level, is we don't have that time to put in, and we're kind of subjects to what, quote-unquote, they tell us. And that's a problem, but it's also a problem that is, in a way, being solved. Basically, anything I need, if I need a reminder, I can find out who the 14th president is like that. I can find out who the 21st president is. Chester A. Arthur, Die Hard. It's funny. You can remember stuff like that, but, you know, you sit in a classroom and it's not going to plug in. But if everybody remembers that reference from Die Hard 3, Chester A. Arthur, that was the mining guy that was down in the tunnels and he knew all the presidents. It was pretty neat stuff. But the point I'm getting at is that we're in this world now where the elites are scrambling. That even makes me more nervous, because they're very powerful and they have a lot of tools at their disposal, and they can make life very difficult for us here on the ground level. The laws that are getting put into place. And to circle back, the Trump 100 days. This is kind of what I was saying, is about the chaos has been the ant nest that got kicked right now. And all those billionaires and millionaires and hedge fund stockholders, all these people are scrambling because they're worried about their money. They take their marching orders. The Democrats definitely do. And so every time I hear Bernie Sanders talk about those billionaires, those evil billionaires, I've mentioned this before, pay attention to those things. Because Bernie Sanders is funded by billionaires. But it's always a deflection. You know, it used to be those evil 1% millionaires. Now we've shifted to billionaires. And that's because people like Bernie Sanders are multimillionaires. And they have multiple houses. They have multiple boats. They have servants. They have a life that you and I will most likely never see. And that's okay. But they do believe, I really suspect that they truly do believe that they are superior to us. And so that's why they lie and they manipulate and they twist and they get you so confused and angry that often people just throw up their hands. You know, we're so busy trying to live our lives and go 14, 15 hour days. You got a sick wife at home. And so you got to help with the kids and you got to run the kids here while you're also doing your checkbook. Listen to me. Tells you my age. But the point is we're always juggling so much just in our daily routines, trying to squeeze by and get the things you need and try to have some form of peace and happiness because we all have an expiration date. And I've talked about that many times. That expiration date is a real thing and it cannot be ignored. So we try. We get through, and then the information we have to now discriminate and sift through it because most people, I suspect, have lost trust in our systems. That is so sad. And again, it's ominous and it's frightening because the more people become, they don't trust their officials, their scientific institutions, they don't trust the police. They don't trust their local governments. That just spills out into, I don't trust you on the street. And that's what is happening all around us. Think about it. And if you live in a very blue state, think about the nice neighborhoods and those smiles you get. And I would suggest they're phony. They're fake. We live in this Facebook. Everybody's watching me now. I got to pretend like I'm constantly on camera. And then you get into some of the middle class and lower class neighborhoods, you really got to watch yourself. Nobody looks up. Nobody smiles at each other. Nobody. There's this level of tension that is floating in the air, especially where I live here in Tacoma and Seattle. And people can scoff at that and pretend that that's not the case. They're in denial. They're in denial because they don't want to know. Most of them know now and regret about that whole COVID situation, about how shitty they treated people. And they're hoping by now people have forgotten that. I haven't. I haven't forgotten how awful people were to me and my family because we went, nah, I'm going to pump the brakes and see what's going on here. We read the writing on the wall, all that bullshit that happened that made life so tough, so stressful. Just going to the grocery store. Oh, we got to put on masks. All this crap because they wouldn't let you in. Can't go to church. Oh, but you can go to a bar. You can go to a baseball game without a mask. You can protest in the streets. All that nonsense that everybody remembers that we went through. So here we are now, second run of Trump. He's been talking since the 80s about the tariffs. And I'm no economist. I got some basic principles down from my little stint in college. I understand some of the concepts, but tariffs, it's a little above my pay grade. But I do understand when they make the statement or when they suggest that we as a nation have been defending other countries, supporting other countries, giving foreign aid to other countries for decades. Very generous. But nobody else putting nearly the effort that we have. It's time to pay up. And it doesn't make sense that we wouldn't charge people. You want our protection because there's some evil out there. And that almost sounds like a mob. know, the Italian, that's, you know, some of my background, with the mob mentality, the mafia. Sorry. That's what the word that was escaping me. It makes sense because we want to, if you need our help, we need to also support our people. So the tariff thing, I'm trying to see how it's playing out. And it seems that every time that he would make the threat and start going, this is what we're going to do, other countries would stand tough for about 2-3 weeks. And we're very early in this. They would back down. And we're ready to make a deal now. Canada puffed up their chest like the joke that they are. And just last night, the new prime minister said he reached out, or Trump actually said that he reached out to him, and they're actually going to have a meeting now. I think Trump's right. I'd like to believe he's right. And like any of our presidents that we put into that office, whether I voted for him or not, he's still my president, and I want my president to succeed for the good of our nation. I was hopeful for Obama. I was hopeful. I knew it wouldn't happen with Biden. But of course, even with Biden, I would want him to make our country better. But we have been sold a lie. We have been victims of disgusting DC fraud. They've stolen that money that you work your ass off for and given it to their personal causes. And that should be setting 90% of the people in this country through the roof when a lot of those programs are discovered. How anybody can pause and go, well, and try to argue for it, try to justify it or even defend it. You couldn't be charitable about some of these stupid programs that we've discovered where millions and millions of dollars were going through. Now, you know, Elon Musk, what did he say? That there was potentially $150 billion in fraud. And apparently it's nowhere near that. And that's okay. But we've still, that door opened to the public. Look at what's been going on in one department of our federal government. If that type of, they've run wild. There's been no pushback. It's glad handing. And that's to say for the Republicans and the Democrats, that DC machine is a problem. With lobbyists, people giving money. How does this help me out? Okay, I'll do this for that. I mean, you just heard that, I want to say it's Hannah Hughes, but I can't remember. It's Hannah something, but she's a representative of Connecticut. And she just caught on a hot mic saying, you know, tax them. They won't even notice. This is sick. This is a sick mentality that's out there. Instead of them viewing themselves as public servants, they view themselves as our leaders, and we are their subjects. And so those there's a mentality behind those that are seeking those positions. It puts them into a position of power, and that's all they want. And they know once they get in there, it's just a runaway train of money. Trump's no different in that he takes, you know, kickbacks. It's all kind of how DC works. I like to think that, you know, he doesn't need any of their money, and that's what we saw the first round. But he's a deal maker. If anybody read that book way back in the day, The Art of the Deal, I have said this many times. The conventional system of the United States government has failed us for a long time now. And if that conventional system, the quid pro quo, business as usual, is a failure because of fraud, it's a failure to us, the people down at the ground level. If it's a failure to us, I'm okay with attempting an unconventional method as long as obviously it works within the bounds of our government, or, you know, the within the parameters of the United States Constitution. I said that to a friend a long time ago, and he gave me the look. He just couldn't process what I was saying. I said, you're either, as an American, you're either a constitutionalist or you're not. And it really is that simple. It's just that simple. Constitution can be changed. There's a process. It's a slow process. And the founders were brilliant in setting these things up like this. So Trump and his tariffs, we're starting to see a little bit of movement. The market appears to be stabilizing just a little bit. You know, we've been seeing it tank over the, you know, within the first 100 days. But Trump says things are going to turn around once these things get into effect. In fact, he's even proposing very soon here that he's going to, I guess, submit a bill to Congress about if you make $150,000 per year or less, no federal income tax. Can you imagine if that were to go through? I mean, if we're that comfortable with the tariff income, pardon me. If that's the case, that would be extraordinary. Now, if that is to happen, what I can just about guarantee is in blue states, like this tyrannical shit state of Washington right now, which is sad because I love Washington so much. If that were the case, I can guarantee you the legislators of this state will, how can they take advantage of that? And what they will do is they will propose tax hikes on us. In their mentality, in their twisted minds, they believe, well, they've been paying all these taxes all these years. They won't even notice. And that's what we just heard from that Connecticut representative. This is the mentality of them. We're their subjects. We're just the means to an end for them. We are their bank. In their minds, you work your ass off, but they're providing a service and they're protecting you and they're giving you all these entitlement services and all. They do all these things to justify stealing more of your money, and that's where we're at. It's just absolute theft now. None of these things go to the programs that we want them to, but they always sell. Oh, we have a parks crisis. We have a homeless crisis. We have a drug epidemic. These things that they're creating. So when it comes time for those voting, those tax levies, people will, yes, I want to help the homeless. Well, of course you do. We all do. But they're generating these problems to keep crises alive. Our government is just, it's sickening. And the state of Washington right now is only going to get worse. I've talked about Bob Ferguson many times. That is an evil man. That is an evil, quirky little shit that probably got, I mean, who knows? I've said this many times. You just look at that squirmy little fuck and you can tell he probably got picked on or beat up. I mean, who knows? And now he's seeking revenge and power and control. If anybody was going to, I hate using the Hitler term, but this is a man that just flat out does not care about the citizens of Washington State. In fact, he would prefer that people like myself would leave. And there are so many that are leaving because of the tax hikes, because of the new gun laws. Time and time again, they would prefer that, because if people like myself leave, more of the majority of us take off, and then you have people that remain here that are of that same helpless, lost puppy mindset, sheep, literally sheep. Now, not literally, I hate that word, but you know what I mean. If they can keep control over them, they'll never lose power. They don't like thinkers. They don't like free thinkers. They don't like critical thinkers. They don't like anybody that questions quote-unquote authority when ultimately you and I are the authority. And that mentality has been lost. State of Washington is just ass backwards right now. I mean, it is so awful here. My wife and I are talking about, where are we going to go? These new laws that they're putting into effect that just passed are absolutely tyrannical. Making gun ownership a privilege, not a right, essentially, effectively, is what they've done by this new law about having to apply for a permit to purchase a firearm. This is European shit. Doesn't apply to them. They can have all the armed security up the ass they want. They're always the most disgusting hypocrites. Then he puts in a new bill, or they just sign off on a bill that makes it to where the federal government, the U.S. military, National Guard, state militaries, and militias are not allowed to enter the state of Washington without the endorsement of our fearless Bob Ferguson governor. So he's got to sign off giving authorization. Okay, so why did you put that into effect? That was my initial question. Well, Idaho has a similar law. Okay, but why did you decide to do this now? So you put that into effect. You step on our gun rights. Then you pass this new law about the, I think it's, look this up too when you get a chance. It's House Bill 1531. This is giving basically just about full autonomy to the state government here during a health crisis to mandate vaccines. Now, this is getting into some 1984 stuff. Can't defend yourself. Militaries can't come in. They have control over your life. What about whatever happened to my body, my choice? This stuff is really frightening. And this isn't being, you know, over dramatic, or it's real. So we've got a lot to think right now about me and my family and I, trying to determine the best course for us next if things don't turn around. And let me tell you, it's tough to try to pack up a family and leave your home. I would have never imagined this in my lifetime. And Bob Ferguson, you know, he's already making his threats. You know, there were so many lawsuits against Trump on the first 4 years that he had. He's already amping up. You know, Bob Ferguson, if you're not familiar, he was the attorney general of our previous governor, Jay Inslee. And Jay Inslee was another rotten piece of shit, hypocrite. Lived on Bainbridge Island in his mansion. It's funny how all these politicians on those $120,000 a year salaries all become millionaires within the first couple of years of their life or their service. Things have swung so out of control. And this is where I kind of circle back to Trump. He wasn't part of that machine. Now, he has his failures for sure. He has his problems. But I'm constantly paying attention to the noise that gets thrown at him. Where's this coming from? Why? And who, you know, they do not like him because he's returning, or it seems on its face, he says it at least, he wants to return power back to the people. People can scoff immediately and go, what are you talking about? He's a dictator. I'm so sick of the Hitler reference. We're talking about a man that systematically murdered Jews, millions of them, to ran his own country into the ground. And to compare Trump to that, Trump doesn't have power like that. That was, again, what I mentioned about the whole Constitution. But so many people don't know how our Constitution works. You got these mindless people going out, setting Teslas on fire, blowing them up, spray painting Tesla buildings, putting swastikas on their cars. This is just insanity now. People have completely lost their minds, and Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing because it's been programmed into their minds by that fucking mass media, CNN, MSNBC, all of them. It's the mainstream media. They're losing their grips and they're losing their shit now. Because you look at the ratings of CNN, it is abysmal. I mean, it's so low. And CNN was just a powerhouse. I can't say that I'm impressed with the first 100 days. It seems to me that our president is trying. He's trying to put us on a path that might benefit the country and ultimately bring manufacturing back to our country, put some more money back in our pockets, especially talking about these new tax initiatives, these suggestions, more or less, of what he'd like to see. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like if our country was able to run efficiently off of the income from terrorists? I wish I had a better feeling about the first 100 days. But, you know, we still have 3.5 years to go. A lot can change real quick, especially with the Putin and China thing. It sounds like China may be starting to buckle a little bit, from what I understand, and willing to start having some conversations. I'd like to see that pattern continue. Because, man, that would be great. Honda, in fact, from what I understand, they just moved one of their factories to the U.S. So, folks, we got a lot to see here in the next 3.5 years. There's a lot of pain coming our way in the state of Washington. Dan Bongino famously said, it hasn't gotten bad enough yet for the people to turn things around in states like mine. The majority of the country moved more to the conservative, because everybody knows how I hate saying conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat. But they did move more towards, we got to get back to the foundation, to the principles. They started voting more towards those that were going, no, we're not the ones in charge, you are. Washington State went more blue. And this state is attracting those mindsets. They are all around us now. All around us. And it really is troubling. Let's try to stay hopeful in the next 3.5 years, see what's going to happen here. We'll see if we're going to be taking off. Maybe 2026, we're just not sure at this point. We're hoping things turn around in the state of Washington. But let's just hope and pray for our country. We can get onto a profitable track, a more generous track, more kind track. People are at each other's throats right now for politics, and that's something that's been troubling for quite some time. Everybody, thanks again for watching The Ground Level. If you like this episode, please leave your comments down below. Like and follow us. And again, tune in the next couple days, because I'm going to have Brian here with me, and we're going to have a lot of fun with that one. Thanks, everybody.